This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Helmets on, kiddos. Good afternoon. This is BFM 89.9, and all this week we're highlighting children's road safety with a specific focus on the importance of kids' helmets. In fact, you can sponsor one today for just 50 ringgit at bfm.my/helmets. Now, on with the show. Three stories lined up for you as per usual. In the studio with me today, I have two guests as per usual. I have
Jeff Sandhu,
Arvind Yuvraj.
We will be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. And if you'd like to get in touch, as usual, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. We are on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio. Stories we've got lined up for today, starting off with a story about how you can predict your mental health using data.
It's not very a fun story, though. It's a scary story.
It's a scary story.
Yeah, it is a very scary story because this is coming off from the idea of DARPA, our favorite agency. There's something similar to what they're doing with DARPA now. It's using on mental health.
Okay, else that might play around with your mental health. Story number two, credit cards leveraging on streaming services.
Yeah, they're trying to sell their cards by using streaming services perks.
Oh dear. Mm. And then wrapping up with how YouTubers are making retail jobs even harder. You must have seen some of these videos.
Yeah.
They're videos that make you want to kill people,
yep,
for lack of a better phrase. Right, Jeff, get us started with this story about the mental health.
Yeah. So the White House has been briefed on a proposal to develop a way to identify early signs of changes in people with mental illness that could lead to violent behavior. So a lot of supporters see this as a plan for President Trump, who could move the ball forward on gun control following recent mass shootings, as an effort seems to be flagging those impose harsher restrictions such as background checks on gun purchases. This is an article from the Washington Post, who managed to speak to a couple of individuals who refused to be named, that's very closely linked to this project or this proposal. The proposal is part of a larger initiative to establish a new agency, and it's called the Health Advanced Research Projects Agency, or better known as HARPA.
You are joking.
I am not. So which would, you know, this would actually sit inside the Health and Human Services Department. Its director would be appointed by the president of the U.S., and the agency would have a separate budget, according to three people with knowledge of conversations around the plan. So HARPA, as the name sounds like, actually would be modeled on DARPA, which is the highly successful Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency that serves the research arm of Pentagon and also, you know, collaborates with other federal agencies, the private sector and academia. And we know the tech that has came out from DARPA, you know, like GPS and all this kind of stuff. It all came from, you know, the Defense Research Agency. And,
right.
DARPA is probably, if not the leader, is one of the leaders when it comes to using technology in the world of defense, and then also trying to, you know, make it known to the world and use it for, you know, well, use it for whatever.
The betterment of humankind, you
sure
might say.
On paper, that's what it says.
They gave us GPS.
Yes, yeah. Right? So I won't argue with that. So the concept was advanced by Suzanne Wright Foundation and the first discussed by officials on the Domestic Policy Council and senior White House staffers back in June 2017. But the idea has recently gained momentum in the wake of the latest mass shootings that has killed 31 people in one weekend at El Paso and also in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. So the Suzanne Wright Foundation reapproached the administration last week and proposed that HARPA include a safe home, stopping aberrant fatal events by helping overcome mental extremes.
Oh my word, these Americans love their acronyms.
Mm. So officials discussed the proposal at the White House last week, and they said that two people familiar with the discussions basically reached out to the Washington Post. Now these people and others have spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity around the conversation. So the attempt to use volunteer data to identify these neural behavioral signs of someone headed towards a violent explosive act, they say would be about a 4-year project costing about 40 to 60 million US dollars. This is according to one of the lead scientific advisor on HARPA and Jeffrey Ling, who is also the founding director of DARPA's Biological Technologies Office. He said in an interview, everybody would be a volunteer. They're not inventing new science here. They're just analyzing it so they can develop new approaches. And this is going to have to be done using scientific rigor. But the question, I guess, really revolves is like, you know, and a lot of researchers and mental health experts believe that mental health and gun violence, they aren't necessarily linked. So that chain is a little bit weird in the sense that they're trying to relate, you know, you could be mentally ill, hence, you know, you are then going to be probably doing, you know, gun violence and stuff. But that isn't necessarily the factor. It's rarely a predictor. It could be a reason why someone would do, but in terms of predicting, it's a bit scary that you're looking at mental health as, you know, then labeling you as like you are probably a potential criminal, but on the hindsight, you're probably just mentally ill. It's you're not necessarily gonna be, you know, going out and do violent acts of crime, I guess. So it is risky. It is scary that they're now using data to predict what your behavior is going to be in the future, because. And also, where do you draw the line?
How different is this from, you know, the Sharp Eyes project over in China? You know, where they're filming people, they're getting face profiles, behavior profiles, all of that kind of stuff to help them, in their eyes, predict future violent behavior and crime. Mm. How different is it from that, do we think?
You know, I guess China is a very different way of understanding and knowledge of using data. It's also, you know, how acceptable they've become in the government or agencies within the government using the data to sort of manage their day-to-day life. In the Western world, it is a completely different discussion, right? It's, you know, in the invasion of privacy,
right.
That risk always comes up. But, you know, I guess China is just more acceptive and the way...
I don't know if the word is acceptive. I know Arv's going to agree with me on this. I think it's more of a case of you're going to do it and you've got no choice.
You have no choice.
Yeah. But you know, the people on the ground, they don't necessarily put their hands up in the air and complain about it.
Right.
Maybe because they're restricted, they're not allowed to do so. You know, it's up to debate. But I always just believe that China has a very different understanding of data than what the Western world has. So, you know, I guess later on when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about just mental illness and, like, you know, it is sometimes a factor in violent acts, but in terms of as a predictor, it's a little bit risky. So, you know, there's more towards the story, which, you know, we'll...
It was only a couple of weeks ago he was blaming video games for it.
Yeah,
I think when that fell apart, then you have to find something else to blame. I mean,
he had to
obviously...
find something else to harp on about.
Oh, wow. He was waiting for that.
On that note, I'm going to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, you are tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. We've got some music coming up. We'll be back in just a few seconds, of course. We are still talking about this, whether or not data can help predict your mental health. Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Because friends matter. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Arvind Yuvraj.
And Jeff Sandu.
With you all the way through until 1 o'clock. Don't forget, if you'd like to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. We're going to continue our discussion now at Jeff's story, DARPA and Harper and safe homes and predicting your mental health using data. Carry on, Jeff.
Yeah, so the question is, because there's so many researchers and mental health experts who believe that mental health and gun violence, they aren't necessarily linked. Of course, mental illness can sometimes be a factor in such violence, the experts are saying, but it's rarely a predictor. Most studies show that no more than a quarter of mass shooters have been diagnosed with mental illness. So more commonly shared attributes of mass shooters actually include a strong sense of resentment, desire for notoriety, obsession with other shooters, years, a history of domestic violence, narcissism, and I guess this is the big one, if you look in the US, access to firearms.
Right.
So, you know, in the immediate aftermath of Dayton and El Paso, President Trump said that he might support background checks for all gun purchases and red flags laws to deny guns to those who deem as a hazard to themselves or to others. But just recently, Trump called universal background checks off the table in a conversation with the head of the NRA, which is the National Rifle Association. Though apparently later he denied saying that, but, you know, it's still a question. Did he actually, you know, pull this universal background checks off the table or not? The president said that he thinks mentally ill people are primarily responsible for the spate of mass shootings in the US, and this proposal is likely to be welcomed by, I guess, you know, most Republicans, politicians, gun rights activists who have kind of basically argued about the same thing.
So here's the thing, right? And it seems like such a logical solution, right? President Trump himself, in his own words, is saying that mentally ill people are the cause of gun crime.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you were to have universal checks about whether or not people could have guns, these people with mental health issues would be identified and they would not be able to own guns.
Yes.
It's not rocket science here, Rich.
That's the logic, right?
Yeah, 2 + 2.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So why is it that they are fighting against this idea of universal background checks? I genuinely don't understand.
Because then you blame the gun.
Right.
Yeah. So if you use the data to blame the mentally ill person, then that person is at fault. So people kill people. Guns don't kill people. That's the argument, right?
That's their argument
that, you know, guns don't kill people. So if you have data to show that most of the people who go out and do these like mass shootings and, you know, like gun people down are mentally ill, then you can blame them. Mm. And it's not the fault of the gun. It's not the fault of the one of the amendments for them to own the guns. It's easy to just point the finger at someone and go, that person wasn't stable. That person had a mental problem. That's why they got a gun, went out, shot like 12, 15, 50, 55 people.
But President Trump, if you do these background checks, we'll be able to identify these people with mental health issues.
Mm.
Ah.
Also, but like, I guess the worry is also like, you know, it's not all mentally ill people are going to then do
this.
Right? It's the access to the firearms, which is,
yes,
you know, I think personally
that's the fundamental argument.
But, you know, you know that's not going to change anytime soon in the US, right? But there are various amounts of businesses who have thrived in selling firearms. You've been to the US, Rich, and, you know, I guess, you know, for you, first time being in the US, it was strange to know that the person next to you
could be carrying a gun. Yeah.
And, you know, it was the same feeling for me. Arv, you've been to the US you know, that fear is just that you could walk into Walmart or Target and buy ammunition and
they're selling weapons. They're just selling weapons out in the open. Yeah.
You know what I felt most at risk? And this, when I was sat watching a movie, you know, and people getting up and moving out of the theater, and the whole time I'm just like...
At the edge of your seat.
On the edge of my seat, yeah.
So it's, I guess it's risky to label everyone with mental illness is going to do, going to create acts of violence, because they may or may not. It's not an attributing factor. It's not the predictor. It's more of, again, it goes down to, you know, the research has shown time and time again, it's people with a strong sense of resentment, desire for notoriety, obsession with other shooters, history of domestic violence, narcissism, and access to firearms. These are the reasons why, you know, most people get involved with gun violence. None of these here kind of indicate it also means mental illness, right? Mm. But Trump has reacted very positively to the HARPA proposal, according to a person with knowledge of the discussion, and he's apparently said has been sold on the concept, but it's unclear whether the president has actually reviewed the new safe home component of the proposal, and also creating an entire agency would be a huge lift in the Congress itself. Interestingly, though, HARPA's proposal was initially pitched as a project to improve the mortality rate of pancreatic cancer through innovation research to better detect and cure diseases. So that was the foundation of why HARPA began, you know, way back, you know, before June 2017, right? But now this is what they're progressing. So despite internal support over the past 2 years, the model ran into what is described as an institutional barriers to progress. This is according to, again, a person familiar with the conversation. So HARPA would develop breakthrough technologies with highly specificity and sensitivity for early diagnosis of neuropsychiatric violence. The document list goes on with a number of widely used technologies. It would suggest that it could be employed to help collect this data. So this includes random tech gadgets like your Apple Watches, your Fitbits, Amazon Echo, Google Home, all these kind of smart devices. So they will collect this data and then they would run through some powerful tools. They'll also probably collect your healthcare details and provides like, you know, fMRIs or tractography and also image analysis. And then they'll run all this kind of, you know, data analysis. And then they will label you like, Richard, you are mentally ill. And because of that, you are at risk of committing a crime. And immediately there's a flag on your head even before you do something, which is the risk.
So essentially, Harper is Sharp Eyes from China, and they're using that data in any other name for mass surveillance, and they're using this idea of gun control and violence or whatever as the way in pushing it through and being able to legitimize the idea behind it.
Is it basically, I am right? Yeah, you are. It's just like basically saying, look, everybody has the right to own firearms, but if you are mentally ill, then you are at bigger risk of going out with the firearm and committing a crime, which is frustrating because I think we've just come, like, what, in the last 10 years, we've started to talk about mental health in a different way. There used to be a time when people used to make fun of mental illness, or they used to look at mental illness like you're crazy or you're dangerous, you're going to go out and commit like some big crime. The last 10 years, people have changed and there's more open conversation about mental health. People have been having like different kinds of conversation about mental health and what is proper and what is not proper. And if you have something like this, then it skews it the other way again.
Yeah.
You know, you have data and again, people are going to be pointing and going, look, everybody who has a mental issue or mental health issue is dangerous.
Regardless of what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just like, look, the data shows it, and if you shouldn't hold a weapon because you could commit a crime.
It's just the fact that there is a flag on your head before, you know, because one is it's not a predictor, but yet they're using this as a sign that you are going to do something because you are mentally ill, and because of that, you are at risk. So, you know, there's probably more monitoring on your behavior. There's, you know, instead of just, you know, helping individuals who probably need help and may or may not actually do, you know, an act of violence. And you know, these people are just every other regular folks who just probably need more help than regular folks, right? So that risk, I guess, it's where, you know, that question mark is like, how can you just label someone like that?
Imagine if it's already like difficult enough for people to come out and say that they have depression or, you know, any kind of mental illness because of stigma and stuff. I bet it's even more difficult in the US. So if something like this comes out, people are just not going to say anything.
Yeah,
like you go to work and then you go like, look, we have a mental health sort of program. Come up to HR, talk to us. No one's going to say anything. They're just going to be like, no, I'm not depressed. I don't have anxiety. I'm completely okay, 100%. Because if I do, if I come out and say that, look, I might be slightly mentally unstable, I need help, immediately there's eyes on you and they go like, look, you're a hazard, you're a danger to everybody else.
Yeah. Then there's, you know, there's the risk of not being employed and so on and so forth, right? Because, you know, they're using this saying that for now, you know, you're going to act, you know, you're going to commit crime, gun violence, right? Because of the recent mass shooting. But when, you know, and pray to God that it does happen where, you know, these kind of issues that happen in the US becomes something of the past, then what, right? Like, are you just going to label this person as a potential criminal just because you've labeled this and this? So, you know, it's not good to label something like this using analysis of all kinds of sensitive data as a predictor. I think there's just more discussion needs to be held.
All right, folks, that's where we are so far. We are talking about predicting your mental health using data. That's the major story that we are running with. We're going to move on now. We've got some music coming up next. But after that, and when we come back, credit cards leveraging on streaming services. This is a story, of course, from Arvin. He's all our streaming man, aren't you? He's our media man. We're going to take a short break. Don't forget, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter and Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.